I have to be honest, I didn't think that I would be coming back again to Acts chapter 27 this morning. It was my intention to preach upon this great storm, first of all from the perspective of the sailors, and then, as we did last week, from the perspective of Paul. But I felt that there were certain truths that we could do with emphasizing that we hadn't previously covered. And so we come back to this chapter 27 once again. And my message this morning, I've titled, Encouraged to Be Encouraging. Encouraged to Be Encouraging. I heard a story of a passenger on an ocean liner that was enduring a very rough Atlantic crossing. And the passenger was leaning over the rail, his face a shade of green, and the steward came along and tried to encourage him and said, "Don't be discouraged, sir. No one's ever died of seasickness yet." And the rather nauseous passenger looked up at the steward with horror on his face and said, "Don't say that. It's only the hope of dying that's keeping me alive this long." I don't know if that's how Paul and his fellow passengers felt after being 2 weeks being battered about in a storm in the Mediterranean Sea. Not only were they sick, but after being so long tossed and buffeted upon the wind and the waves, not seeing sun, moon or stars for many days, we're told in verse 20 that they actually lost all hope of being saved. In the same way, when people go through the storms of life, very often they lose hope. And then this bleak picture, the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul bring a ray of light. We notice in verse 22, he encourages everyone. He says, "I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." Be courageous, he says. Don't lose hope. There will be no loss of life upon the ship. And in verse 25, he says, "Be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Verse 33, again we read that Paul, that while the day was coming, Paul besought them to take meat. He encourages them to take some food. And you'll notice then in verse 36 that we're told, "Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat." Paul seen it as his duty to be a source of encouragement and hope, even in the midst of the storm. Someone has said that we should be kind to everyone, because everyone that we meet is fighting a battle of some kind. Those who do not know our Saviour need encouragement, because Paul describes them in Ephesians 2 and verse 12 as having no hope and without God in this world. They need the hope that only Christ can give. But not only do the lost need encouragement, but God's people often need encouragement. I believe that discouragement is one of Satan's most used tools. And it's discouragement that causes many Christians to give up in their service of the Savior and to stop from following their master. Our families need encouragement. As husbands and fathers, we ought to be those that encourage those within our homes. How often we fall and fail in these duties of encouragement. And yet the Apostle Paul, in his experience, shows us how, first of all, he received encouragement from the Lord, and then he passed on this encouragement to others who desperately needed it. And that's the point that I want to leave with you today, that those who have received God's encouragement in the midst of life storms should then look around them and encourage others. Now, I don't want you thinking that Paul was perhaps just naturally a very upbeat, positive person who always saw the bright side of things and never the dark side, and therefore was very optimistic and never felt down. I say that because when you notice in verse 20 that when they saw neither sun nor stars in many days, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. And I read verse 20 as an implication that Paul and Aristarchus and Luke felt exactly the same way as everyone else on the ship, that all hope was gone. You notice the use of the words us and we. I believe Luke is including everyone on the vessel. Added to that in verse 24, the words of the angel to the apostle Paul saying, "Fear not, Paul." Well, if Paul was already optimistic and upbeat, the angel would not have had to tell him not to be discouraged or not to be afraid. He wouldn't have needed this encouragement. Paul was a man just like you and I, subject to the same terrors and fears and doubts as all the rest of us. And he sees himself in the midst of this storm like everyone else. All hope that we should be saved was taken away. But once he experienced God's encouragement, he passed it on to others. And that's what I want to draw from this text this morning. How we can experience God's encouragement in the midst of our storms, and then secondly, how we can encourage others. So let's look at once again into Acts chapter 27 and see how perhaps we too might experience God's encouragement in the midst of storms. Because we cannot pass on to others what we do not possess ourselves. We can't encourage others with God's encouragement if we haven't experienced it first of all. So how do we first of all receive God's encouragements when we're going through difficult times? Well, let me give you a list of reasons. We can be encouraged by God, first of all, by being with his people. Paul didn't have to face this difficult journey to Rome all by himself. He was accompanied along with Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, and with Luke, the beloved physician. Now, in a little book entitled St. Paul the Traveller and the Roman Citizen, Sir William Ramsay argued that in order to get permission to accompany Paul as a prisoner, that Aristarchus and Luke would have to pass them off, themselves off as his slaves. You think about that for a moment. In order to accompany Paul, the prisoner, they would have to pass themselves off as his slaves. Aristarchus was one of Paul's traveling companions who had been dragged into the theater during the riot in Ephesus. He accompanied Paul during those journeys throughout the region. A little bit later, writing from Rome, Paul refers to him in Colossians 4 and verse 10 as his fellow prisoner. This faithful young man was willing to be identified as Paul's slave and go to prison along with him in order that he might be there to help and encourage and to be a loyal friend and fellow worker with the Apostle Paul. So when the journey to Rome began, and they arrive in the port of Sidon, and the centurion allows Paul to receive his friends and to visit with them, we often think of Paul being the one who cared for others, but we find him here being the one receiving care. He taught us throughout the scriptures that each and every believer is part of the body of Christ, and each member is responsible for all the other members, and we give and receive to one another in order to function properly. One of the reasons that the scriptures remind us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. One of the reasons why we encourage membership within the congregation is that we might give encouragement to one another, to say to one another that I'm here alongside you. I believe as you do. I want to worship as you do, to serve the Lord as you do. And as you encourage me, I will encourage you. Paul received encouragement from those who traveled alongside him. How else did he receive encouragement from God? Well, when he remembered God's presence with him. In this case, it wasn't the Lord who stood before Paul, but an angel of the Lord, a messenger of God. But it has the same effect upon Paul to remind him that God is always with him, that the Lord is aware of the trials and the difficulties that you're going through. I think of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as he stands before his disciples and he gives to them that last word of command to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. And he says by way of promise, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And the Apostle Paul is experiencing the reality of that promise. He'd received it before when he was afraid in Corinth. And the Lord had appeared to him in Corinth and said to him in Acts chapter 18 and verse 9, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. A little later in Acts 23, when Paul was taken into custody in Jerusalem, again the Lord stood by his side and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Now Paul would later experience in his final imprisonment just before his execution, when he writes to Timothy and tells him that no one supported him, but all had deserted him, he says in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. And each of those experiences in Paul's life was a reminder to him that the presence of the Lord was always there, that he had not been forgotten nor forsaken by his Savior. And these messages came to remind him to take courage that God was ever with him. Now, I have never seen an angel, at least not that I know of. But I felt the Lord's presence with me at times in great need. And there was no other hope to be found anywhere else. To have called upon the Lord and to have been encouraged with that gracious sense of his presence as his Holy Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am his and he is mine. We don't need literal visions of Christ or his angels. We have his promise. And that's sufficient for us. Late in his life, the great pioneer missionary David Livingstone received an honorary degree from Glasgow University. They made him an honorary doctor. As an old man, he rose to speak, frail and haggard because of the hardships that he had endured in Africa over many years. His left arm hung limp by his side, having been crushed by a lion. And yet before that crowd, he announced his resolve to return to Africa. Without any misgivings and with great gladness, he added, would you like me to tell you what supported me throughout all these years of exile amongst a people whose language I could not understand, whose attitude towards me was often uncertain and sometimes hostile? It was this, the promise of the Lord. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He said, on these words I have staked everything, and they have never failed. Paul took encouragement from the presence of the Lord ever with him. He took encouragement when he remembered that we are the Lord's precious possession. Notice in verse 23 what he says to the sailors. He says, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. He says, I am a precious possession of the Lord. And if you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you can say that I belong to him and he belongs to me. He has purchased me with something more valuable than gold or silver. He has shed his precious blood to redeem me. And having purchased me at such high cost, that we are assured that he will take care of his expensive purchase. If you've paid a lot of money for something, you don't just carelessly throw it into a drawer and forget about it. You put it in a special place. And you check in it often. And if it's extremely valuable, you'll put it in a safety deposit box. You put it somewhere where it can't be stolen. Well, God has purchased you with the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. He's paid the highest price imaginable to redeem you, and he's not about to abandon you. You are his precious possession. Whose I am and whom I serve. We receive encouragement from the Lord when we remember that we are his servants. Again, verse 23, Paul says, the Lord is the one whom I serve. What's interesting about that word serve is that it carries an idea of worship. It's the same word that would be used in the Hebrew language to speak of the Old Testament priests offering sacrifices by way of service to the Lord. It speaks of a life that's lived with a Godward focus, that everything that we do is a service unto him who loved us and gave himself for us. It's what Paul speaks of in Romans 12 when he encourages us to present our bodies as living sacrifices unto the Lord, to serve him with our life. Every Christian, not just those in so-called full-time Christian ministry, every Christian should view themselves as the Lord's servant, always on duty. And every contact that we have is an opportunity to represent our Lord to a world that doesn't know him. Hebrews 13 says that we should offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And he says, with such sacrifices God is well pleased. And if we would see ourselves that way as God's servants, carrying out our master's duties, ambassadors for Christ, carrying the message of the gospel everywhere we go, then we as the Lord's servants can be encouraged even in the storms of life, because well, the Lord looks after his servants. We are doing his business. We are a company of his workers. And our Lord has the best employment benefit package of all. He takes care of his servants. How else do we receive God's encouragement? Well, when we remember his promises. The angel brought to Paul a message saying, fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar. Those promises there are simply a reminder of what the Lord already told Paul back in Jerusalem in chapter 23. Be of good cheer, Paul, for thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem. So must thou bear a witness also at Rome. You hear the Lord said, must. You must testify in Rome also. Divine necessity. When God says you must, then you know it will happen. He is faithful to his promises. Therefore, it doesn't matter how great the storm that we're going through. The Lord has promised, you must, therefore you shall. I love the words of Isaiah 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. And when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. We receive God's encouragement when we remember that he hears and answers prayer. Look at verse 24. The angel speaking to Paul said, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, or behold, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. God has given thee. Paul had been praying for them, asking the Lord to deliver them from the storm, to bring them to safety. He's not only been praying for himself, he's been praying for everyone on board, and God has said, I've given them to you, Paul. They'll be saved from death and drowning and shipwreck. Not only will Paul be delivered and Aristarchus and Luke, but all the others also. Not a hair of their head will be lost. God has given to Paul graciously the answer to his prayer, all of the lives on board the ship. You know, the world never truly knows the protection that it receives because of the presence and the prayers of God's people. A little while ago we looked at the praying of Abraham and saw how the cities of the plain would have been spared if only 10 righteous could have been found within their walls. How many other cities, nations have been spared because of God's people that are there praying for the deliverance of those who know not the Lord? The Bible doesn't tell us just how many of those on the ship eventually came to saving faith in Christ, but I believe that many of them did. So when you're going through the storm, don't just pray that God might deliver you, but pray that God would grant you the souls of others with whom you have contact within the storm. And it may be that you'll find out that the very reason that you're going through the storm to start off with is so that you might pray better for those that are on board with you. The fact that God graciously answered Paul's prayer and gave him the lives of those with whom he sailed should be an encouragement to us. Ultimately, Paul received encouragement from God by believing him. We look at verse 25. He turns to the sailors and says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. The promises of God will do us no good unless we believe them. Unless we believe that God will do just exactly what he has said. In spite of our circumstances, in spite of the storm, in spite of the fact that we don't see how it may be accomplished, we believe God. As encouraging as Hebrews chapter 11 is, as it details for us those men and women of faith that saw God do mighty things on their behalf, let me remind you that even when the waves of the storm are breaking over us, we can be encouraged by believing in the one who is able to speak to the wind and the waves and tell them to be still. So we can receive encouragement from God many ways, even in the midst of the storm. Now, what do we do when we receive that encouragement? Well, I think secondly, we're to share it with others. When we're going through a storm, our natural tendency is to focus on ourselves and our own problems. And there's a tendency to forget about others and their needs. Paul didn't do that. He didn't keep God's encouragements to himself or simply share them with Luke and Aristarchus. He shared the encouragements of God with everyone on board, and he repeatedly encouraged them to take courage, that God is able to deliver. I suspect many of the men on board were condemned prisoners just as he was, headed to Rome to face their sentence. Maybe many of them were due for execution or to be thrown into the arena with the lions. These are men that desperately needed to hear of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of them coming from pagan backgrounds. Maybe they've made their way through the storm and they've been praising their good luck or offering sacrifices to their favorite idols. Paul wants them to know that it's the living God who has delivered them. He wants to be clear as to where the source of deliverance has come from. He wants to encourage the others. So how can we encourage the others that are in the storm with us? Well, first of all, by being with them in the storm. I mentioned already Luke and Aristarchus, that they're there not only upon the ship with Paul, but they're going to go to prison with him also. And all three men on board and the others are in the storm. And I'm sure Paul sought to encourage his brethren in the Lord. None of the conversations are recorded, but their presence is recorded. The fact that they were there with him was an encouragement to them. Sometimes we might hesitate to visit someone that's going through a difficult trial because we don't know what to say to them. But we don't hear what Luke and Aristarchus said to Paul or what he said to them. But we know they were together. So don't worry about what you'll say to that person. Just go and be with them. We're going to look at Job tonight, and you'll be familiar with Job's three friends. Well, his three friends did just fine when they sat there and said nothing. It was only when they started to speak that they got themselves into trouble. Just being close to someone, being near to them, being there in the storm with them can be an encouragement for others. How else can we encourage? By praying for them. After Paul's advice not to continue the journey had been rejected, he could very easily have gone into a sulk with his feelings hurt and said, well, if that's how you want it, you deserve to perish in the sea. But he pushed those feelings aside and he prayed for their deliverance. And no doubt those sailors were not men of high moral standards. They probably swore, as sailors are notorious for doing. They lived for their times at port where they could run riot and live lives of wickedness and debauchery. Then you've got the soldiers that are guarding Paul and the other prisoners. And the only thing that we know about them is that when the ship struck land, their first thought was to kill all the prisoners to stop them from escaping. Paul knows what they really need. They need to hear of Christ. And he prayed for them. Paul prayed for them. Even so should we pray for those that do not know the Lord. Pray for the sailors and the soldiers and the shopkeepers and all the other people around us. And let's not say to ourselves, well, they don't deserve God's grace, because none of us do. But you might find that that person who's going through the storm might be greatly encouraged as you come alongside them and you ask them, perhaps, do you mind if I pray for you? I think you'll find that most, if not all, will respond favorably and say, yes, pray for me. Because everyone has needs. Even the most hardened of men, like the men in our text. And even if they don't believe, that at the very least they might say, well, it can't hurt. And perhaps your kindness and your concern and your compassion for them will open up a door of opportunity where you're able to tell them of the Lord who's able to save. It starts by praying for them. How else can we encourage others? By being practical in our ministry towards them. Look at verse 34. Paul encouraged these men to eat some food. They've been 14 days without eating. They're about to be thrown into the water and have to make their way to land. And Paul knows they're going to need strength for the swim that's ahead. And he encourages them to eat. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not a hair fall from your head of any of you. They're going to need strength for swimming. This is a completely practical matter. It's not a spiritual one, but the men are encouraged by it. So we can help others with practical service. Take a meal to someone who's been sick. Go and get some groceries for someone who's not able to get out. Go and clean their house if they're not able to do it themselves. Don't say, if you have any needs, let me know, because they won't ask. Just put yourself in their place. What would I want someone to do for me? Then go and do it for them. Be an encouragement to them. Give them practical help as well as praying for them. Be an encouragement by setting a good example to others. Paul is literally in the same boat as all of the pagans. He got seasick just as they did. He had been discouraged and fearful just as they were. But when he received encouragement from the Lord, he shared it with them. And as he stood before them and told them to eat, to receive strength from the food, you know what he did? He took bread, he gave thanks to God, he broke it, ate it, distributed it. He set the example for others to follow. And that's especially true in our homes, in our families. We want to set an example for others to follow, that when the storm hits and the troubles come, that we don't fall apart. And we don't get discouraged and we don't drown in our own self-pity. But we trust in God and we stand forth and we give thanks and we distribute God's mercies and we let others see that we are trusting and we encourage you to trust us. What a terrible testimony when in the face of troubles that the first thing we do as Christians is crumble. And so we encourage them. Told them of God's greatness and of his power to save. He just didn't keep a positive outlook or to tell them to have faith in their faith. He told them to believe in God and in his promises and in the deliverance that only God can give. That's what he did. Believe in God. From his prison cell, Bedford Prison, where he'd been imprisoned for preaching the gospel, John Bunyan wrote these words. He said, "This prison, very sweet to me, hath been since I came here, and so also would hanging be, if thou didst then appear." What John Bunyan was saying, that this trial that he was going through revealed more of Christ to him, and because of that it was worth all of the pain. And if God uses the storm to reveal more of Christ to Paul, and for him then to reveal more of Christ to those that were on board, then this life-threatening ordeal was well worth it. And so if the Lord reveals more of himself to you in the midst of the storm, and encourages you with his presence and his promises and all of the blessings, then take those encouragements and then be an encouragement to others and to share with them something of the Christ, whose you are and whom you serve, and be an encouragement to them that they too might put their trust in the only one that's able to deliver. May we be encouraged in order to be encouraging. May the Lord help us to be such. We ask for his own name's sake. Amen.